Now we're looking back at the biggest stories of the year from the state capitol. Republicans passed a $3 billion incentive package as part of a deal to bring technology manufacturer Foxconn to southeastern Wisconsin. And infighting among Republicans delayed passage of the state budget until well after the June deadline. Plus, a legal challenge to Wisconsin's electoral maps made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it could impact redistricting around the country. Laurel White is a WPR state capitol reporter. She joins us now to recap those stories and how they might play into next year's midterm elections. Laurel, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, a big year in Wisconsin state capitol news. Let's start with one of the biggest stories, the Foxconn technology plant coming to Mount Pleasant in southeastern Wisconsin. Governor Walker and state Republicans are treating this as a big win, maybe even an election campaign message. What are we hearing lately from Republicans when it comes to Foxconn?
Well, I've been doing my year-end wrap-up interviews around the Capitol lately. That's something we kind of do as the year winds down. And what I'm hearing from Republicans across the board is Foxconn is something that they're very excited about, something that they're definitely planning on campaigning on in 2018. And when I spoke with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in particular, he said, you know, we are going to talk about Foxconn. We're very excited about Foxconn. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but we will be talking about other economic development things. We're not just going to focus on that because we have a lot more to highlight in what we've done as a legislative body than just this incentive package and just bringing this one business to Wisconsin. So I think we're expecting Republicans to talk quite a bit about Foxconn, but not exclusively. And an interesting thing to note on that is that Governor Walker actually didn't even mention Foxconn in his re-election bid announcement back in November. So he kind of sent a signal there that he's not going to be running solely on Foxconn, certainly, because he didn't even mention it.
And Foxconn, the incentive package, $3 billion, it had some bumps in the road through the legislature. It wasn't a quick and easy job.
That's right. So it seems like years ago now, but it was actually July when all of this Foxconn business started. That's when there was that big White House event that announced the deal with the governor and President Trump. So over the course of the really 6 months between announcing the deal and when the final contract was approved, there were all sorts of conflicts between lawmakers, between the Economic Development Agency that was negotiating the contract, and the public. There were so many stakeholders in this deal. So there were things about transparency of the contract, things about how to hold Foxconn accountable. It was a big deal, obviously. A big deal in that it was a big incentive package, but a big deal in the sense that it was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-century thing, the biggest incentive package that a state has ever offered a foreign company. So a big deal on multiple levels.
And Democratic messaging, a few Democrats, especially in that region, had voted in favor of the incentive package. But in general, what has been the Democratic message on this?
Right. So in the state assembly, there were three Democrats that voted for the incentive package. That was Representative Corey Mason, who's actually left the legislature now. He's the mayor of Racine now. Peter Barca, who used to be the minority leader, who's from Kenosha, and Todd Onstad, also of Kenosha. So we saw Democrats who live in the district that Foxconn is going to be locating, breaking with the party ranks to support the incentive package. There was also in the Senate, Senator Robert Wirch, who's also from Kenosha, joined Republicans to support the plan. So we saw kind of a regional breakdown there in terms of people crossing party lines to support or oppose. But excluding those folks that broke with the ranks and voted with Republicans, the Democratic message on Foxconn up until today is that it's too risky of a deal for Wisconsin taxpayers. It's going to take too long to earn back the money that the state is paying to Foxconn. And, you know, they're also arguing that Foxconn isn't going to create the number of jobs that have been projected for the facility.
We're looking at some of the top Wisconsin stories of the year with Laurel White, WPR's state capitol reporter. The budget every 2 years is the big story. Some of the big news here, infighting among Republicans, Governor Walker and Assembly Republicans in particular, over issues like transportation and more. What were some of the key points of friction that led this to be delayed past the original deadline?
Well, the really big one, Rob, was transportation funding. From the very beginning of budget negotiations, we saw Assembly Republicans really splitting from Senate Republicans and the governor, calling for what they called a long-term solution for road funding in Wisconsin. They were very interested in having something like a gas tax increase or a vehicle registration fee increase to provide a new revenue source for roads. They argue that Wisconsin has been falling behind in terms of funding road projects and that they really needed kind of an infusion of new money to make sure that things would happen. And that's something that the governor continued to oppose throughout budget negotiations, something that Senate Republicans continued to oppose. And in the end, Assembly Republicans didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get that gas tax increase or the vehicle registration fee increase. They were opposed to a certain level of borrowing as well, Assembly Republicans were. They were a little bit more successful in that regard. The final budget ended up including just about $400 million in borrowing, which is the lowest amount that the state has borrowed for roads in more than a decade. So they got their small amount of borrowing there. But really, in the end, Assembly Republicans, particularly Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who is, of course, their kind of spokesman for the body, said that he wasn't too happy with how the budget ended up in terms of road funding.
And that is an issue, transportation, that we're going to be probably hearing people fight about in 2 years, right, for the next budget cycle.
Absolutely. I don't think this is an issue kind of like Foxconn that's going to go away anytime soon. It was really interesting because when the Assembly voted to approve the budget, which was in September, Speaker Voss actually said, I went back and pulled up this quote. He said, you won't hear me say this again today, but the Democrats have a point when they were talking about road funding. He said that he takes responsibility, that the body wasn't able to successfully negotiate a way to improve the, quote, long-term sustainability of the system. So he's talking about roads there. And I can't remember who it was, but one of my fellow Capitol reporters tweeted earlier this week that he actually, Speaker Voss, brought up road funding in his year-end interview with them. So I think this is something that's definitely top of mind for him, and he's going to be bringing it up in the next budget if he's still around, which we're expecting him to be. So,
and I want to end with another to-be-continued story as of right now, a state legal case that became a national one going to the Supreme Court. It's called Gill versus Whitford, but it's a legal challenge to the state's electoral maps drawn by the Republican majority in the Assembly and Senate, now making it, as I said, to the U.S. Supreme Court. What is at issue here, Laurel?
Well, this is Wisconsin's legislative maps. This is something that Democrats challenged, I believe, in 2015. They filed the lawsuit saying that Wisconsin's maps amount to a partisan gerrymander. So they said that the maps make it so Democrats aren't fairly represented in the state of Wisconsin. And the case made its way through all the levels of, you know, legal, all the courts, basically, made it to the state, made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, rather, in October. They heard the arguments in early October, and we're expecting them to rule on this case, which would be the first case, if they find the Democrats' argument to be valid. It would be the first ruling that a partisan gerrymander exists in the United States. So that would be a really big deal. It would mean Wisconsin would need new legislative maps. It would have ramifications, of course, because it's the U.S. Supreme Court, across the entire country. So this is something that we're watching very, very closely. I think it's safe to say that it will be the biggest story of 2018.
And this, you mentioned this to be the first partisan gerrymandering case. There have been racial ones or ethnic ones before. We have this case where Democrats are challenging it. Mathematicians are coming up with standards to measure this. We're in kind of uncharted territory here.
Mm-hmm. We sure are, yeah. So the mathematical equation here is something that the people arguing this case are calling the efficiency gap. And it essentially says that Democrats have, the way that the maps have been drawn is that Democrats are casting basically what they're calling wasted ballots, wasted votes. So the districts are being drawn so they're so safely Democratic where they're Democratic that people are casting ballots that don't matter because the Democratic candidate is winning by so much in that district. So this is something that Supreme Court justices have said they've been interested in looking into, kind of this like mathematical, quantifiable way to measure the partisan nature of a district. So a lot of people, a lot of Supreme Court watchers have been saying this might be kind of the golden ticket for getting a partisan gerrymandering case. Well, not only to the Supreme Court because it's already there, but getting that decision made for the first time in the Supreme Court that a partisan gerrymander exists. So we're waiting. My colleague, Sean Johnson, was there and heard the arguments, and it played out pretty much how folks expected it to, with liberal and conservative justices pretty much showing their hand. But the swing vote in this case, Anthony Kennedy, sitting right there in the middle and not showing exactly how he's going to vote on this. So people are watching Kennedy pretty darn closely.
We'll have a lot to talk about in 2018. Laurel, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Laurel White is a WPR state capitol reporter. She was with us to recap the year in state capitol politics, including Foxconn, road funding, and gerrymandering. Coming up next hour, we'll take a look at the biggest state news stories of the year outside of the capitol with USA Today Network Wisconsin editor Robert Mentzer.